Well, I hope my voice is going to be strong enough so that everybody can hear this morning. I want to turn your attention to 1 John chapter 3, a very well-known passage of Scripture. And if you would look up that, please, we're just going to read three verses. 1 John chapter 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. And we pray that God will bless to us the reading of his word. When we were coming in this morning, it's not usual that every cow in a field is sitting down, chewing the cud, but we passed two fields and not a cow was standing. I don't know what they've been doing overnight, but they were all enjoying a good rest, and that was good. They were using a word, ruminating. They were chewing the cud. They were going over what they had all previously eaten. Now, I want this morning to literally chew the cud, hoping not in a boring way, and I hope I won't have to sit down, but if I do, you will understand why. But we want to think about this particular, concentrate our thoughts on verse 1, although we will be turning to other parts of Scripture as well. Because they're all relevant to this verse. When I was a young boy in a Sunday school, as it was called then, I remember getting told off because I was quoting John 3:16, which I'd known, well, since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, and I didn't have any problem in quoting it, so I just rushed through it, and the teacher said, hold on, were you thinking about what you were saying? And I suppose I wasn't. So it's always reminded me to take time to look, to think over what is being said. And that's what we're going to do as we look at this particular verse. We're going to meditate upon it. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us. The ESV has "see the great love." And if you go back to the Authorized Version, it says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us." We need to think through and look at this verse from every angle, and that's what we're going to do this morning. The original Greek has it, "see ye," to meditate, to chew over. Just like a diamond cutter, he has a big diamond, but he doesn't leave it as it is. He looks at it, he sees where the cracks are in the diamond, and then he divides it so that it gets the true worth. And we want to get the true worth from this verse. So let's have a look at it. Now, we're told that the Father has lavished on us his great love. So first of all, we look at the source of this love. What do we know about the Father and his love? Well, the whole Bible speaks of God's love for us. In the beginning, says Genesis 1 and verse 1, there was God, the eternal God. God was there before the clock began to tick, before time itself. God was. Psalm 90 and verse 2 tells us, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. He is the I am, the ever-present one. And so if we want to know about God the Father, we look at Scripture, because Scripture is God's disclosure of himself. And in Genesis 1, we see him as a creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And at the end of 6 days, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. So we think of creation, the universe, not as a product of evolution. It's not a divine accident. It is God who made it, and it was very good. And it is this God the Father that has lavished his love upon us. He has given us his love, and it is very good. So we come and look at this verse, and we see it. And we see God's intimate involvement in his creation. We see the hand of God Almighty all around us. And there's this intimate involvement. He's a hands-on creator father. Isaiah asks the question, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? And Isaiah 40 goes on to say, he stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. Just like we pull the curtains at night so easily. But God does that and did that with the heavens. He is our creator God, and he is the God who has poured out his love upon us. We might say, well, what has this to do with our text? Well, think about it. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God or sons of God. Marvel at this. When the Apostle Paul is writing to the Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So when we think of this verse, this love that has been extended to us has been there from all time. Before the clock, before creation, before all those wonderful things that we see around us, God was at work, and God determined to make us his sons and his daughters. His love extends to us. How great is this love? And those who know the love of God are able to look at his creation and say, heaven above is softer blue, and earth beneath is sweeter green, that something lives in every hue that Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs or flow, flowers with deeper beauty shine. Since I know, as now I know, I am his and he is mine. A child of God, thought of before time began, before God created the world, before the clock began to tick, the Creator God thought upon a people that he would make his sons and daughters, his elect, from before the foundation of the world. We might think of God as being the architect of all that we see. This intimate involvement, the source of all love that has been lavished on us. But think too, beyond this, think of the Trinitarian aspect of his love. God communicated his love to us. He is the architect. But we can think of the Son as being the builder. John 1 and verse 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing has been made that has been made. So everything was perfect by the Father being the architect, by the Son being the builder. God saw all that he had made through his Son, and he was pleased with it. Everything was perfect. There was no sin before time. Absolute perfection. But then first parents, Adam and Eve, were made, and sin enters that perfection. And we have the fall of man and woman into sin, that separation from God. But in love, God in his grace still determined and made a promise that through the woman, a seed would come into the world. And that seed was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, made flesh to live among us. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us. In grace, he made a promise. And that promise is spoken of again and again in the Old Testament. And we see it fulfilled in the New Testament with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we could be sons and daughters, but we can only be sons and daughters through the work of Jesus upon the cross. 1 John 4 and verse 10 says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. He was the one who turned away the wrath that we deserved, taking it upon himself, and the Father placing it, his wrath, upon his Son. He paid the penalty that we deserved. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. One has put it like this: the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. Jesus didn't for one moment cease to be God, but he did become man. As the carol puts it, he was born as man, with man to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel, he becomes man. Why spend so much time looking at one verse? Well, the writer John wants us to behold. He wants us to see. He wants us to understand. He wants us to come to that place where we really know what it is to be loved by God. I love those words of the Apostle Paul, where he speaks in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 18. He says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep, and that you might be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now, those of you who are local will have visited the V. If you haven't visited it already, then I suggest you make a journey there. But if you go to the V, there are a number of things that you can see. If you go in June, you will see that the rhododendrons are out. And you see in the valley, the rhododendrons are reflected in a lake. And it's very, very beautiful. You look down in the depths of that valley and you can see the beauty of those rhododendrons reflected. But if you're driving or walking, you can look out the other side at other times of the year and you can see the heather. And again, there's a beauty there that you can see and appreciate. So there's a depth, there's a height. But if you keep going along the road and you're walking or driving on a car, you come to a hairpin bend. And just after the hairpin bend, there's a viewing point. And you can look into the distance and you can see the Galti Mountains. Again, a thing of great beauty as you look across the 40 shades of green over towards the Galti Mountains. But then if you look out to your right, you can see the Shure Valley. And again, you can see a depth of beauty. So there's height, there's length, there's breadth, and there's depth. All beautiful. There's a demonstration, if you like, before your eyes of what Paul wants us to see about the love of God in making us his very own children. How great is the love the Father hath lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. So if we think of the Father as the architect, we think of the Son as the builder of the creation, we might think of the Holy Spirit as being the animator, for he is the one who gives life. The Spirit of God, we read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, was hovering over the waters. He was giving life. He was animating things. And without the work of the Holy Spirit, we cannot experience the love of God in Christ. Remember, Jesus himself said, you must be born again. For each one of us are spiritually dead, naturally speaking. But then God works in us by his Spirit, and we are given life. There was a time when I was spiritually dead. What was necessary to give me life? Well, it was necessary that I should be born again from above. And that being born again in love shows that I have received the Spirit of sonship. And by the Holy Spirit who has given me life, I'm able to say, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We are sons of God. And that is what we are. See how great the love that has been lavished on us. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. And we have this assurance that we are God's own children. That we have been given life. We're not saved by rules and regulations. We're not saved by our own good works. Salvation is of God, and he has given his salvation, which is there forever and ever. And as we think of this love, we also see that God is intimately involved in making us children of God. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1 of the passage that we read at the beginning. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. What did people think of the Lord Jesus when he was here upon earth? Did they embrace him gladly and willingly? Not at all. The Old Testament tells us in Isaiah 53 and verse 3, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. The New Testament tells us in John 1 and verse 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. On the contrary, they held him up and delivered him over to be crucified. He became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And John brings before us the fact that there is a cost in being a child of God, and we shouldn't think otherwise. It's a false teaching that says that we shall be free from all trials and troubles if we become Christians. They won't vanish away. They will still be there. But God will still keep us as his children. As Ephesians 1 and verse 5 says, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. And as we've already said, he did that before time. God has planned a life for every one of his children. We are in his will if we are his child. But there will be difficulties. Let me use another illustration. I've been to Poland on a number of occasions, and on this particular occasion, the pastor of the church where we were had just got a sat-nav. It was the early days of the sat-nav, and he had got one on trial, and so he decided to use it on taking us on a particular trip. Now, he didn't know too much about sat-navs. I knew nothing at all about it. But he set in the destination, and off we went. And it was all right for the first part. We were on good roads. But then we came across some grass tracks. And then we've got on back onto a hard road again. And there were forest paths, which were all right at the beginning, but as we got further on with this journey, there were good roads and there were bad roads. And the forest track, well, they've been cutting timber in the winter, and the lorries had gone through, and there were big ruts, which would have been all right, because it was a fairly big car, except that he had a tow bar on it. Well, you can imagine trying to make your way on this. And sometimes it's like that in our lives. We're on a smooth road and everything is going well. Our destination is mapped out. We're going home. We're going home to glory. We're going to be with the Lord. Everything has been planned by God. And it will happen Because Christ came into the world and died and rose again from the dead. And we have the assurance of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we will be despised. We will go through those dark and difficult roads. But we will get there in the end because we are held in the hand of Him who is the architect, of Him who is the builder, of Him who is the animator. And blessings are ours still to come. 1 John 3 and verse 2 says, "Dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." John is writing at the end of the first century. He is on an island. He's going through difficulties. Soon he will have that revelation that we have in our own Bibles. He was going through trials and difficulties, but he has this blessed assurance. Yes, the church is persecuted, but John isn't anxious. He's unafraid. He knows that the day will come, that every tear will be taken away, that there will be no more illness, that there will be no sadness, because he is a child of God. And we know there are blessings still to come for every one of us, because we are God's own children. Behold what love, but there's more to come. All this that we can enjoy in the here and now, and then heaven forever. But what's the evidence of this sonship? Well, as we read in 1 John 3 and verse 3, "Everyone who has this hope in him purifies him just as he is pure." So in other words, if you are a child of God, you will take on the family likeness. You will become more and more like the Lord Jesus himself. You know, children are born into a family. They take the family likeness. And we will take the family likeness. We will seek to be pure as he is pure. He who has begun a work in us, says Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, we can be confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So see, meditate, chew over what has been said this morning. And know beyond a shadow of doubt that love has been lavished on you, that you should be the children of God. And that is what we are. But can you say that this morning? Can you say, "I am his child. He has taken me and made me his very own for all eternity"? One day the Lord Jesus is going to come again, and the dead in Christ will rise. And if we're alive on that day, we'll be caught up together with them in the air, and we shall be like him forever and forever. Amen.